I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Now, I didn't think I was going to. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to ask this question. How many of you guys are told to take naps, but you really don't like taking naps? Is anybody in here like that? You're told to take naps, but you don't like to take naps? Oh, really? All right, yeah, that's one. When I was at, and I won't tell you who, which hand Steve rose. When I was a little kid, my mom used to tell us all the time to take naps, and I hated that. I didn't want to take naps because I thought I was wasting the day away. Now I love taking naps. I'll nap whenever I have an opportunity. I'll nap. But it's amazing to me as a kid, when my mom told me to rest, I refused to rest. I'm going to read a portion of scripture in Hebrews chapter 3. And you're going to hear the word rest several times. I'm going to ask you to listen and count how many times in this passage rest is used. Because God's going to say something to his people. He's going to tell them that he desires that they find their rest in him. Now, he's not asking them to take a nap. He's not asking them just to stop working. But he's asking them to find their delight in him. Find their joy in him. That they wouldn't wrestle against the issues of life outside of his presence. But they would remember that he is there and he desires that they would draw close to him. That's why we sang that song. Thank you for choosing that song, Draw Me Close. That's why we sang that song. He wants us to do that. So listen, if you will. Every time God says rest, kind of count that, because I'm going to ask you how many times this appears in this passage. Listen to this. This is an extensive passage, but I want us to get the context. Listen to God's word. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years. You saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Did you count? How many times did rest appear? 13? 15? How many? What did you say? 13? I counted 10. Oops. And I read it several times. Here's the point. What does God want us to remember? He wants us to remember to enter that rest. Before we consider God's warning to us, shall we pray? It sounds like it's amazing that you would have to warn us in so many words to find our rest in you. It's amazing, oh God, when we think about your involvement in our lives, the fact that we breathe at your faithfulness. We have risen this morning because you allowed us the opportunity to see another day, and yet you tell us to find our rest in you. Father, we earnestly pray that we would all hear your voice and we would be diligent today, to enter your rest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are five different sections where the author of the book of Hebrews almost puts the parenthesis around the main theme, and the main theme of the book is that Christ is superior to everything in creation. He is superior. As a God of creation, he's more superior than the angels and Moses. We've already studied that. And in the midst of that, God told this author to write these words of warning, because he wants us not to just intellectually understand that God is superior and that everything that we have comes from him. He wants us to combine that with faith, that we would actually find our rest in him. As I read this passage again just a few moments ago, I was amazed. I was actually frustrated that I had to hear a couple of times that God warned the people in the desert, and because of their disobedience, they didn't enter the rest. And I was thinking in my mind, why in the world would they not? They saw God. They saw him deliver them through the 10 plagues. Frogs, gnats, darkness, boils. They saw God deliver them. They saw him pass over their houses. Then that 10th plague, what they celebrate as a Passover, they saw him deliver them. They saw the neighbors the people in Egypt, give their gold to them so that they had the resources to live in the desert. They saw all of that. And if that was not enough, they walked on dry land through the sea and saw God's deliverance. They saw all of that. And God said, find your rest in me. And they didn't. I can't believe that. Yeah, I can. We have seen through eyes of faith God's amazing interaction on the behalf of men. We have realized God's faithfulness in our lives. We've prayed, haven't we? We've seen God's hand at work, haven't we? We've experienced forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and we know our sins have been dealt with. And yet some of us, even though we hear, we haven't entered that rest. Now, I have to admit to you that as I look at you, there's nothing, I mean, God doesn't tell me that, yes, you've entered rest, and no, you haven't. Oh, I can't believe I just did that. Sorry. Yes, you have, and no, you haven't. God doesn't tell me that. I don't know. I know if I have. So I'm going to ask you today, listen to God's warning. Hear from Him what this rest is and determine if you're like the people who walked in the wilderness for 40 years and saw for 40 years God's provision and failed to enter that rest. If you are failing to enter that rest, enter today. And if you have already entered that rest, thank God today for that rest. Okay, let's look at the word. Now I wanted to define rest 10 times, 13 or 12 times, however many, I thought it was 10. 10 times, at least 10 times, rest is used in God's word. 9 of those times, it means cease from labor. Cease from rest. One time it means binding yourself to God and finding your rest in Him. That's the theme of this message. Listen, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. That word Sabbath rest only appears in this verse in the entire Bible. It only appears here. And it's the word that means spiritual rest in God, spiritual dependence on God, true trust in God, not what He does for us. There's a difference. There's a trust in Him, in His character, in His being, trusting Him. That is the rest that God calls us to enter. So as we consider for the next couple of minutes, let's look at 3 passages in Hebrews about this rest. First, there's an offer of rest. There's an offer of rest. Notice verse 8 again. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have not spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, as God did from his. First of all, this is not a physical rest. It's not a place. The rest that the people of God looked forward to in Israel was a promised land. And Joshua had the opportunity to lead them into the promised land, but that wasn't rest. That wasn't the rest that God's talking about. The rest is not a place. It's not the United States of America. We are blessed to be in the United States of America, but this is not rest. It is not in what we can do, what we can grab and hold around us. I have several Bibles, physical Bibles. And on my computer, I have a ton of Bibles. I have resources that allow me to learn and study God's Word, but that's not rest. Going to Sandy Lake is not rest. Doing is not rest. Because if it were, it wouldn't be offered to us today. It has more to do than just a place. This passage says that rest is directed to a particular people, the people of God. If you have expressed faith, acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ, He offers you rest. I'll say it again. If you have acknowledged your faith in Jesus Christ, He offers you rest. Some of you may say what I said when I read this passage. When I studied this passage, I thought, wait a minute. Didn't I get rest? When Christ forgave me of my sins, didn't I get rest? I asked God that. I studied this text earlier in the week, and I'm thinking, I got rest, didn't I? But God gave me examples of how that I looked for other areas to find the rest that He promises. Some people try to find rest in accomplishments. If you like what I'm doing, then I'm at peace. I'm at rest. If I'm able to sing or to read or to preach or to perform, then I am at rest. And God reminded the Israelites that rest does not depend on what you can do or what you have. It depends on who I am in you. Oh, this is the thing. Five times God used the word today, 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 if you hear my voice. Rest is an everyday reality. That today I find my rest in Him. And then as the Lord wills, He gives me tomorrow, on Monday morning, I would say, today I find my rest in Him. I do not rest in the fact that yesterday I found my rest, that today I depend on Him. That's why God said, today, today, today. Some of us can say that I have rested in God for many years. And God says, great, but find it today. Renew your commitment today. In front of my Bible, I have a verse written out from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17. It is actually a prayer that I pray. It says, but you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And when I think about Jeremiah, he had a tough job, didn't he? He was a prophet. Nobody listened to him. God even warned him ahead of time, this is going to be tough, Jeremiah. Don't find your rest in what you do, Jeremiah. Find your rest in me. And that's what he's saying to us. Don't find your rest in what you do or what you hope to find in things. Find your rest in me. And then he says, this is God's rest. Listen to Matthew chapter 11. This is another invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is what God's talking about. He's talking about that soul rest in Him, that reliance on Him. that as a God of this universe, He knows us. He knows what we struggle with. He knows the concerns in our hearts. He knows all of those things. And He asks us, don't remain in that. Remain in Me. Trust Me. Find your rest in Me. That's an offer for today. And it is a call to rest. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Just a couple of things in this section. Let us. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that it's his choice also to enter that rest. Rest is not the relationship with Jesus Christ, to come into a saving relationship with Him. It is abiding in Him. Trusting Him. Oh, there's a difference. Psalm 95 was quoted in this passage. That they didn't enter my rest. It's a place called Meribah and Massa. At Meribah and Massa, the people of God grumbled. They were in the desert. Read Exodus 17 and following. In Exodus 17, you'll read that the Bible says that they were in the desert of sin. In the desert of sin. One of these days, I'm going to preach maybe a sermon called, Are You in the Desert of Sin? The people of God, after having experienced God's deliverance, grumbled to Him. Said, we're thirsty. We're thirsty. We're in the desert and we have no water. You delivered us so that we can die here. Wah, 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 wah. In Hebrew. And God told Moses, I heard the grumblings of these people. Strike the rock, and I will provide water. And God recounts that the people of God who should have trusted Him because they saw what He did, doubted that He cared for them. That's why they complained. Read Exodus 17. You'll read it for yourself. They said, you sent us here to die. God didn't bring them there to die. He brought them there so they can find their rest in Him, but they didn't enter that rest. In this passage, it talks about they never entered the rest because of disobedience. Remember what happened at that point? There were 10 of them. There were 12 spies. Remember that? 12 spies were told to go into the promised land and to spy it out and to see what God can do. See what God can do. That was the thrust of that command. And when they came back, they said, God can't. They're giants there. They're in a land of giants. They're huge. The grapes, the fruit of the land was so huge, it took a couple of us to, there's no way we can take those guys. 10 of them said that. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said that we could. Remember that? And because of that unbelief, this is what God said to them. Go and see what I've already given you. I'll give it to you. Look at what I'm giving you. And they came back and said, you can't give it to us because they are too big. And they didn't enter God's rest. Are you saying to God, you can't give me rest because they are too big? The issues of my life are too big. You can't give it to me. You're not big enough. Are you saying that to God? Today, if you hear His voice, enter that rest. Don't say, like Israel did in times past. Don't say that you can't do it, God, because the giants are too big, or you got us here and you don't care about us. You brought us here to die. We're going to die of thirst in this desert. It's amazing to me that we would say that to God. It really is. And I know I'm saying that now as I preach, but I have to live it too. It's amazing that we know what we know about God and his invitation to draw unto him, and we still say, I don't think you can do it. If you're at that place today, enter his rest. They fail to trust God. God says make every effort to enter his rest. Then God gave us a safety net. Look at verse 13. This is a safety net. But encourage one another daily. As long as it is called today. Encourage one another daily. Take a moment. Look at the people around you. Just turn around and look at the people around you. Turn around and look at those people back there. Now, this is... I can always count on Chris. This is an opportunity for us to help each other enter rest. Do you see that word encourage? That word, but encourage each other daily. Oh, thank you for putting that back up there. No, it's not up there, sorry. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. That word encourage means call to the side. Call that person to the side of God. That's what that's talking about. So God calls us to turn around and look and listen to people. And when they are saying things that tell you that they haven't entered that rest, go to them. I'm going to do a man because I'm going to hug them. Go to them and stand next to them and call them to your side. Thank you for letting me do that. And say, trust God. Come to the side of God with me. Don't say, shame on you. You should know enough to enter his rest. What's wrong with you? Listen to each other and call them to the side of God. That's what that's saying. And then God gives us another safety net. And it is his word. Look at the protection of rest found in God's word. Listen to this. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from him. God's word is sharp. It's living and active. It's living and active. You can trust God's word to give you everything you need to enter God's rest. Read God's word. Memorize God's word. Read those chapters that tell us about God. Tell us about God's character and his purpose. Read about that and bind yourself to that and say what God said then still applies today. Because his word is active, is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the issue. It cuts away what offends God, what harms us. It cuts it away. It roots it away. It heals. It brings wonderful healing. God's word tells us what God thinks about us and what he wants us to do. You can rely on God's word. It defends us and protects us. Today, if you haven't entered God's rest, enter it today. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't put it off. Enter today. And find out what the people of God have found out for years, that place of rest is great. shall we pray. At least 10 times in this passage, you called our attention to rest. 5 times in this passage, you told us that the choice is today. Oh God, we pray that today we would enter that rest. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.